Hey, this is Peter and John Bradshaw from the Venture Capital Podcast. Go to www.venturecapital.fm. Peter is a partner at the University Growth Fund. I'm a founder from Codebase.com. Together, we share the VC and founder perspectives. So that is the main part of this podcast plus guests.
So today we're going to talk about what is an angel investor.
Peter, are you an angel investor?
Yep.
How many angel deals have you done?
That's a good question. I don't know. Probably somewhere between 10 and 20.
Okay. I would define an angel investor and probably the context. There's four main types of investors. We call them friends, family, and fools.
Yep.
Triple F. Angel investor, venture capitalist, and private equity partner or individual. Did I do any others you want to add?
No, I mean, there's some nuances in there. You could have super angel crossover investors. You could have growth equity investors. You could have secondaries investors.
But typically an angel investor is the first non-friend, family, and fool who puts money in. Unless they're the fool, who is an accredited investor.
Yep.
Who helps the business get along. A lot of the times angel investors will be part of different groups, like in Utah. We have the Park City Angels, the Salt Lake City Angels, the Salt Lake Life Science Angels. They typically come together and invest together as a group.
Or individually.
And they're typically writing probably $25,000 to $50,000 checks max. If they're writing $150,000, $250,000, $500,000 or more, then they start hitting what we call like a super angel status.
Yeah, I mean, super angel status really came out thanks to people like Ron Conway in Silicon Valley, who was an early backer in Facebook and Google and Pinterest and a bunch of others, because he actually raised a fund around what he was doing to do pre-seed. Today, we just call super angels pre-seed investors, pre-seed funds, and there's a plethora of them out there. So super angel status kind of, or as a moniker, kind of went away. But yeah, I mean, angel investors, yeah, I think it's anyone who's writing anywhere from a few thousand dollars to, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars into very early stage companies. So we're talking like pre-seed, seed. So this is capital that's really used to build the product, find product market fit, get the company ready for a Series A. And then you also will have people that consider themselves angel investors that participate after that and write small checks into early stage companies at the like Series A, Series B stage. I think beyond that, you're probably less of an angel and more of just, you know, an investor in these companies. But, you know, the idea behind being an angel is that typically, or at least historically, the idea was that you were somebody that had some business success. And you treated investing in this asset class as almost like a hobby and an opportunity to give back and stay busy, and not so much as a way to generate like massive home run returns. That wasn't like the primary motivation. And I think, you know, personally, anybody that gets into angel investing that really is doing it because they're hoping, you know, to get their check into the next Uber and become a billionaire off of that investment like Lance Armstrong did, probably not in it for the right reasons. That doesn't mean that like you have to lose money to be a good angel investor. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I do think like I see people get in the game. They think they're going to make a ton of money. They don't really know what they're doing. They lose a lot of money. They get frustrated. They get out. And they kind of miss the whole point of being an angel investor, which is like being involved, helping the founder, helping the company go on and achieve great things, and really giving back some of the things that they've learned along the way. I think those that do that tend to have really rich and rewarding experiences and also tend to do okay financially compared to those that just come into it thinking, oh, I'm just going to make a ton of money here.
Yeah, I mean, the way I've seen it, because I've worked with a bunch of angels, is that usually what happens is an investor makes a lot of money, they have an exit, they think they know everything, they start investing money like it's just throwing checks around in their friends' businesses, and then they all go under, and then that individual stops being an investor, and then they usually start shifting their capital to you know, institutions or VCs, and they quit making the deals themselves. So most angels typically have a very short lifespan of a few years before they get tired of it. And then they typically hire a professional firm like a VC firm or invest in them to manage it for them.
Yeah, I actually spoke at an angel conference recently, and you know, my advice to new angels is that you should probably be investing roughly 10% of your net worth into angel deals. So if you're worth, and then you, that's 10% over time, right? So, and you got to imagine that these are long-term investments. So if it's going to be, you're envisioning a 5 to 10 year investment horizon, you're worth $1 million, then you want to put $100,000 to work. And you're going to spread that out over, you know, 5 years minimum. So now you're talking like 20K a year. And then you want to be doing more than just one investment a year. So all of a sudden, like that 20K, if you're going to do like five deals a year, that's 4K per deal. And, you know, 4K is, it's not a lot of money, frankly. And so a lot of entrepreneurs might balk at it, which is why I think platforms like AngelList are pretty interesting, where you can join syndicates and other things. Although, you know, the flip side is sometimes founders will take a few thousand dollars, like when we had the founder of Pi on.
Oh, Kirk Wieman.
Yeah. So like when we had Kirk Wieman on, right, and he talked about how he's made, what, 1,200 plus angel investments, and some of those were like just a few thousand dollars. In fact, his best performing one, he wrote a $2,000 check. So I think it's totally fine. The problem is that a lot of entrepreneurs or a lot of angel investors, when they first start the game, is they're like, okay, well, I'm worth $100 million. I'm going to put 20% of that to work. And then they blow it all in the first like year on like two deals, and they write 200K checks. And then those two companies go under and they're like, well, this sucks, right? Mm-hmm. That's tough.
One of the things that Scott Frazier told me, and he's probably one of, would you say he's one of Utah's most successful angel investors?
Yeah, for sure.
So he says as an angel, there's two strategies that he approves of. One, you only invest in two or three deals. And he looks at it as you're basically buying yourself a job.
Yep.
At one of those companies, and you spend a day there a week making sure that they succeed.
Yep.
Or the flip side is you have to be investing in 10 plus or more. And he says at that point, you're much better off investing in a fund who's doing this full time, who's getting much better access to deal flow than you are. And from a time return, it should be much better.
Yeah.
But it's either you're doing two or three and you're buying yourself a job, or you have to be doing 10 plus to start getting portfolio returns. Because at the end of the day, we're all just making guesses. And no matter how good you are, you don't know. So anyways, an angel investor. I think we covered it. All right. If you have more specific questions on what an angel investor is, go to www.venturecapital.fm. You can message us on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok. Let us know, because we want to, you know, help you grow your startup, answer questions if you're looking to become a partner at a VC. And good luck. And thanks for listening.